Welcome to Inner Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
And welcome to another edition of In the Circle as we draw ever closer to the start of the 2017 college softball season. I'm Victor Anderson. Joining me, Eric Lopez. And Elo, our Division II review, it's been on fire, my friend.
We keep rolling along, and it's going to be an exciting year. And certainly, what an interesting year in Division II coming up. Vic, I know you're excited. Maybe one of the more anticipated years, and really as wide open of a field, right? The national championship picture is kind of a lot of teams can make that contention, and then some might argue that one of the contenders that maybe can go deep resides in the Sunshine State Conference.
That's right, and we're talking about the St. Leo Lions. Lions, the defending conference champions last year. We're going to talk to their head coach, Erin Kinberger, in her third season. We'll talk about some of her key returners as the Lions swept all the honors last year, becoming only the second school in program in league history to sweep all four major awards: Player of the Year, Pitcher of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and Coach of the Year, which Coach Kinberger won. And also, Eric, we're going to talk to Coach Kinberger about her being recently inducted as a member of the St. Leo Athletics Hall of Fame.
One of the greats of all time.
Yeah, it was a tremendous catcher, all conference, all 4 years at St. Leo. And we'll talk to her about that and also how she got into coaching and how quickly she was able to establish herself. And somebody who our mutual friend, Justin McLeod, very high, has talked about her very highly. And a lot of people agree with it as well. And her record speaks for itself. So we will not waste any further time. Another edition of the D2 Review as we are to be talking with the coach of the defending Sunshine State Conference champion, St. Leo Lions, Erin Kinberger. And joining us now on this edition of In the Circle, our D2 Review, the head coach of the defending Sunshine State Conference champion, St. Leo Lions, picked preseason favorites in her third year at the helm. And as of last week, the newest inductee to the St. Leo Athletic Hall of Fame. And we speak of head coach Erin Kinberger. Coach, first of all, thank you for the time and congratulations. A busy week for you, I know for sure.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having us on. Yeah, it's definitely been a busy week getting ready for season to kick off next week.
Yeah, of course, you start the season against Flagler doubleheader on February the 1st. Again, for complete schedule information, go to stleolions.com. You do return a lot of firepower from last year's team. You won the conference very easily. What has it been like for you going into the spring, knowing that you're going to have that target on your back as the preseason favorite with all those expectations?
I think the number one thing that we talk to the kids about is, you know, the pressure exists. We don't deny that. We don't ignore it. We bring it out in the open and discuss it. Enjoying the fact that everybody's going to bring their A game and we have to bring our A game every game. Turning it into a positive so that, you know, young ladies don't look at it as a negative and turn it into, you know, this pressure situation that, the game creates its own pressure, and that's enough. So we just make sure that we set the bar high every single day and know that we have to bring our A game and focus on internal motivation versus the external, you know, like the preseason poll or the expectations we have of us. We just really talk about keeping our focus on ourselves and doing the little things right each day.
And really, with the team that you have, I don't think the trying to keep everything in-house is going to be a problem, especially with the senior leadership that you have, especially starting at the top of the lineup with Rachel Heath, Player of the Year, one of the most dynamic players in all of Division II. What is it like to have someone like Rachel to be that anchor for your team, both in the top of your lineup, but also anchoring your outfield and center?
I mean, it's great. She's a coach's dream come true. Rachel's just like a pure athlete. So I think Rachel really bought into our coaching, you know, philosophies and the way we, our high expectations every day in practice. We focus on putting them in game-like situations, game speed situations. And Rachel's one of those kids that just bought into that and understands that the way you practice is the way you play. So we do a lot of, instead of fungo, we do a lot of live repetition. We call it power shagging. And Rachel's diving all over the place, and that directly relates to the plays that she's able to make in a game, because she's made those plays day in, day out, 2 and 3 times every single day. So her confidence level making those great plays is through the roof.
And, of course, it's a luxury to have her not only setting the tone defensively, but the way that she sets the lineup, getting on base and stealing bases left and right, to setting up everything for the offense. But there's a player that I'm looking at that not many people mention, Summer Pollard, who a tremendous catcher for your team, led your staff, was top five in the nation in ERA. How big has she been for your team in not only catching games but also being a solid bat for you and towards the bottom of that lineup?
Yeah, you know, in the past we had Summer in the nine hole to turn the lineup over and make sure we had some speed in front of Rachel so that we could really create havoc to our opponents defensively. Summer is a phenomenal ball player on both sides. Like you said, offensively had a great season last year. Her speed creates panic. She has, you know, potential for power as well as game smarts to read a defense and drop a drag. Behind the dish is probably where I'm most proud of Summer going into her junior season. She's really just become that quarterback that I expect out of my catchers, and, you know, using her game knowledge to command her defense and her pitching staff. She communicates back to the dugout. We do what we call a kind of a triangle effect, where the pitcher, catcher, and myself call the pitches throughout the games, and we work together on it. And Summer's, you know, really getting the hang of that and taking some leadership and telling even the dugout what she's seeing. So extremely proud of the catcher that Summer's become, and looking forward to watching her in her junior and senior year just continue to grow.
And especially yourself being a former catcher at St. Leo, so you have that extra set of eyes that Summer can see as well. Is it a very luxury for you that you can hear Summer say, "I'm seeing this from our hitters," and you know exactly what she's talking about? You can make those adjustments not only during a bat or during the game.
Yeah. I think that one of the dying arts to coaching these days is, you know, kids are coming through the pipeline and they're just becoming puppets. You know, they're playing for these coaches where they're being told what to do and not taught why they do what they do. So, you know, Summer was one of those kids. She came in and didn't have a lot of confidence in her own ability to read the game. And we, the last 2 years, you know, it's a slow process. It's not a fast process to teach kids to use those opportunities and to be confident in making the play calls. But Summer's extremely intelligent and definitely dedicated. So over the past 2 years, she's, you know, built that confidence and that understanding through asking questions. And now, you know, she has the best view of the hitter and the entire field, better than we do. And I think as a former catcher, you know, poor Summer, and she'll tell you, like, I ride her day in and day out, and the expectations I have on her are high pressure, probably more so than any game she's ever played in, dealing with me on the daily. But I put a lot of faith in her to have that communication back, and she's doing a great job. So it's a difference maker to have a kid back there who knows the game and isn't afraid to make some of those calls by herself.
Yeah, and it helps you have tremendous pitchers to help Summer, and one of them in particular, your pitcher of the year, Steph Atkins, came in transfer last year, really set the conference afire of 18-4 last year, .99 ERA. Pitcher of the year. I felt she could have made a case to win player of the year that went to her teammate Rachel Heath. What have you seen from Steph this year to make her even better than what she was? And that was a great year she had in 2016.
Well, Stephanie's a perfectionist. That's one of her greatest attributes, and then at times can be some of her downfall. Mainly in practice as her downfall, because when it comes to a game and the lights turn on, Stephanie turns into an animal. You know, I think going in after having such a great season last year, what I love to hear is a ball player who has the game smarts to know that, you know, she's gone a year and everybody's had some multiple at-bats off of her. So I think just switching up her game plan and getting better, like taking her weaknesses and getting stronger at those, so that when she faces hitters, she can have, you know, two different game plans. She knows what she can do to be successful, but then also maybe throwing them, you know, not literally, but a curveball where, you know, she adds in a pitch that she might not have used a ton last year that she's really focused on this fall and going into the spring, where I think she's going to surprise a lot of people with some of those different pitches that they didn't see last year.
Speaking with Coach Aaron Kimberger, head coach of the St. Leo Lions here on In the Circle. I'm Victor Anderson alongside Eric Lopez. We mentioned it in the open, and we mentioned it when introducing you, recently named to the St. Leo Athletic Hall of Fame. Where were you when you got the call from the athletics department saying that you were going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame?
I was actually meeting with my athletic director for our, you know, bi-weekly one-on-ones. Definitely surprised when he gave me the news, and very grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, and of course, you are a four-year catcher at St. Leo, all-conference performer in those 4 years, and probably part of one of the best combinations all time, yourself and Katie Hines herself, a Hall of Famer. What's it going to be like for you, knowing that you're going to be in the Hall of Fame? You got your battery made for those 4 years, Katie right there with you.
Oh, man. I mean, it means everything to me. I wasn't a statistical player by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I was definitely more of the, teammate that would do anything to win. You know, being able to catch a pitcher like Katie and being able to put, you know, my game knowledge behind, you know, her amazing pitching ability and work together and really just have that connection, that pitcher-catcher you always dream to have, where we could read each other's minds when we're setting up hitters, is a dream come true. It's something that I'll cherish, you know, for the rest of my life.
How would you compare playing softball to coaching?
You know, at first, the transition from player to coach is really, really tough. I've had the opportunity now to have some really successful graduate assistants that, you know, I watched struggle with the same thing I did and the separation from the game. But I think that the biggest challenge is just realizing that you can't do it for them anymore, and to empower them to do it for themselves. I tell the girls all the time, it doesn't matter how bad I want it or what I'm willing to do to get it. The only thing I control during the games is the bucket that I sit on. And that reality is harsh initially. And then if you learn it and understand the fact that you can't control the game anymore like you did as a player and make the changes in the game physically, that you have to empower these young women to have the confidence to do it for themselves. And I think that that's been a difference maker within my staff and myself, is we're still young enough to understand what it feels like. And so passionate enough to want to do it, but understand that if we want to win championships, we have to teach them, you know, those crucial aspects of the game and allow them to take ownership.
And your staff, it's one of the best in not only in the conference, but in all of Division II. I've got Pat Infrani, and then your two assistants, Maddie Hollop, who you know very well as an assistant under you at Fort Hays State, and your graduate assistant, Sammy Marshall. What has it been like to have those dynamic young coaches there along with you to not only give a perspective to the players, but to keep everything fun and exciting in the dugout?
Oh, it's absolutely the key to our success. I think that, you know, someone at the convention at one time said, you know, don't be afraid to hire assistants that are talented and potentially even better than you. And, you know, coming with Maddie, who played for me, who was an All-American pitcher, I knew she was going to transition well into the coaching world. And, you know, being the assistant coach of the year last year, she is excellent. Like, she is an absolute difference maker for us in the bullpen. She was also a great outfielder and a phenomenal hitter. And I just, you know, when I took over, I had Kendall Dawson, you know, from Alabama, starting catcher when they won the College World Series back in 2012, I think. And, you know, coming in, being a catcher as well, like, just like two totally different perspectives, two different body styles, like, but, you know, two winners at heart, and putting our collaboration together, I learned a ton from her. And then with the addition of Sammy Marshall, I mean, how, like, I thought I was blessed with Kendall. And then when she graduated with her master's, like, being able to get another difference maker like Sammy Marshall, who plays for the MPF, plays for the Chicago Bandits, who have the same culture we have at St. Leo, just like this family dynamic and this like no quit attitude. Sammy fit like a glove. And our lineup is predominantly lefties anyways. So, you know, adding her and giving our slappers that education as well as myself, you know, I'm just in awe every day listening to her teach them like the details of slapping, as well as working with our outfield and bringing a new perspective to the game. And then Pat Afrensky, I mean, the man is one of the best recruiters I've ever been around. So I enjoy learning from him as well. So I think that we, you know, we approach everything in our program like kind of round table within the staff. And when we put our foreheads together, like I really do feel like we're unstoppable. And I think our kids recognize that we each bring something different to the table, and they kind of tap into each and every one of us given certain circumstances, situations, and they know that they have four people that they can go to for advice and guidance. And it's really paid off well for the program. And ultimately, you know, as my success as a head coach, I owe to my assistants.
Speaking with Aaron Kimberger, the head coach of the St. Leo Lions here on In the Circle. The life of the Sunshine State Conference, you've been there as a Lion, going through it all 4 years, and you've seen it as a coach, how tough it is to go in and week out and play teams like a Rollins, like a Tampa, like a Florida Tech. For those who have not followed the conference as closely as we have, just tell us a little bit about what it's like playing in the conference and the level of competition that you face on a weekend and week out basis.
The Sunshine State is such a strong conference. I'm blessed to be a part of it. I definitely respect it. Everyone from top to bottom says the exact same sentence. Across the board, all head coaches, that anybody can be anybody in this conference on any given day. You know, I think that when we go into conference series, something that works well for our team is, you know, just keeping it game by game and recognizing that each W equals the exact same. If you beat, you know, someone who's, you know, ranked at the top or someone who's ranked at the bottom, it doesn't matter. A W is a W. But I have a lot of respect for the coaches in this league, for the athletes in this league. You know, being in the South, we get to play outside every single day, which, you know, coming from Hayes, Kansas, you know, recognizing and using that to our advantage when, you know, some of the kids in the Midwest and the Northeast, they don't get to touch dirt every day like we do. And I think that that makes our conference stronger and have the opportunity to really compete at a high level and prepare each other for postseason.
And you mentioned it, how playing in the conference is so difficult and such the talent all around the board. And it makes more amazing to how you were, your team was able to win a conference and do it as convincingly as you did. And of course, everyone has you the favorite to win a preseason. How do you, what's the biggest key that you feel your team must do to ensure that you continue that success in the conference this season?
To continue our success in the conference, I think we just have to keep our number one focus on our culture. I think we need to keep paying attention to the details, working together, striving each and every day to better ourselves as individuals and, most importantly, as a team.
Well, of course, for more information on all things St. Leo, visit stleolions.com. They will kick off the 2017 season Wednesday, February the 1st, a doubleheader at Flagler. Again, for more information, go to stleolions.com and follow them on Twitter at St. Leo Lions. Coach, it's been a pleasure having you aboard. We want to wish you all the best in 2017, and I hope to talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Kimberger. Now, don't let the soft-spokenness fool you, ladies and gentlemen. She is a competitor. She is fiery, like everyone else on St. Leo. And it was a joy to have Ron, Eric, and hey, you alluded to it. You want to make focus what you can control. They got the big target on their back in the season, and I think they have the talent with Rachel Heath and Stephanie Atkins to do so.
The one question I have for you.
Yes.
To Bell. Do they have it to replace Tabell? They had that 1-2 punch last year, right, with Atkins and Tabell.
Mm-hmm.
Who steps into that two spot, to me, is the interesting question that I have.
There's a name I got for you, Samantha Tyler.
Yep.
Junior out of Tampa, Florida. Saw some innings last year. They got a couple of young, fresh, got a couple of other faces that they can have support Atkins. The big key, Eric, and I think, and we'll close out our podcast in a few minutes on this. The big series, final weekend of the season, Rollins goes to St. Leo. That's going to be that. If they play the way they're playing, if they play that they're supposed to play their preseason 1-2 in the conference, coaches poll, if they play the way they can play, that could be a de facto championship series right there.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I do think St. Leo is the team to beat.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of experience back from last year, which I think helps them this year, don't you think?
It does, and they're hungry because they don't want to have the bad taste of how last season ended in their mouth. And that's kind of that internal motivation that Coach Kimberger alluded to. You know, a lot of those seniors, Rachel Heath and Atkins and everyone else, they got that aftertaste. They want to get that cleaned out. And they got a chance to do so if they can continue doing what they're doing. And they're the favorites in the conference for a reason. And I have no reasons to think that they won't be there in the end when it comes down to the postseason.
Should be an interesting year, though. Always some interesting plot choice in the Sunshine State Conference and always a battle. So interesting, too, how they'll handle being the favorite.
Yeah, the favorite. And it's really interesting, Eric, because no team in the Sunshine State Conference has won back-to-back championships outright. This is the key word, outright, since Rollins did it in 2009, 2010. Think about that. So that's what St. Leo has on their docket this year. But if there's any team that can do it with the talent that can do it, is Erin Kimberger and her tremendous coaching staff.
They're my pick.
Hey, it's going to be interesting.
Sammy Marshall, too.
Yeah. She is going to be a key factor for those hitters at the top of the lineup, especially Rachel Heath. She was dynamic last year already with 38 steals hitting .426. Now you got somebody who's a two-time NPF champion giving you wisdom and knowledge. Whew. That's scary to think about if you're the other eight coaches in the Sunshine State Conference, what Rachel Heath can do with Sammy Marshall giving her tutelage and leadership.
No question about it. So it should be an exciting year, 2017 here, Vic.
It's going to be a big one. Again, we want to send out special thanks to Erin Kimberger for joining us here on In the Circle for a complete recap of this podcast and all of our D2 reviews. Visit our blog, In the Circle blog, at inthecircleblog.wordpress.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. We are climbing up the charts, people. We cannot do it without you, so thank you again. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at InTheCircleSB. Send us an email at InTheCircleSB@gmail.com. I can't believe the season's almost here.
It's here.
Wow. Well, gotta get ready, my friend. So, again, special thanks to Erin Kimberger for joining us. So, for Eric Lopez, for Erin Kimberger, I'm Victor Anderson. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the D2 Review right here on In the Circle.